everybody. Welcome to the Wiki Wack. Please enjoy the podcast. Thank you.
Y'all ready for this? And we're starting. Welcome to the Wiki Wack.
This is a podcast where we dive into the realms of Wikipedia
and see where it takes us. My name is Lucas.
And I'm Bridget.
And making a guest appearance, I'm Troy.
Troy Rudy in his house. Welcome to the Wiki Whack. This is a podcast.
Thank you very much for inviting me tonight.
So tonight, or today, whenever you're listening, we will be talking about personal finances of professional American athletes.
Woohoo.
Overpaid.
Overpaid?
Overpaid. I already throw that out there. They're overpaid.
Yay.
Do you think they're overpaid?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because they are.
Okay. That's a great answer. So, personal finances of professional American athletes.
You don't need to make millions for being able to throw or catch a ball or hit it or whatever you do with your ball.
Yeah, but that's our fault.
And that's what that was going to be my point is. We pay those salaries, so.
Yep. We go to NFL games for $300 a piece.
I've actually never gone, so it's not my fault.
I've never paid $300.
Have you ever watched it on TV, though?
Yeah.
Okay, it's your fault. Alrighty, so our personal finances of professional American athletes is a subject know of widespread discussion due to often high salaries of such athletes and the high rates of personal bankruptcy and other financial distress. So according to the 2009 Sports Illustrated article, 78% of National Football League players are either bankrupt or commit suicide within 2 years of retirement, and an estimated 60% of National Basketball Association players go bankrupt within 5 years after leaving their sport.
Okay, so here's my question, because the suicide thing. Apparently, it's more common for NFL players to commit suicide than NBA players, because NBA players didn't have suicide in their statistics. So what part of that can we really show is because of their financial struggles and not because of things like concussions, which they're later coming out with, is causing people to commit suicide?
My question of that actually was, why are they grouping bankrupt and suicide in the same thing? Like, those statistics should be separate.
It's probably like 77% bankrupt and the 1% is probably suicide.
So, yeah.
But that, 78%. So literally that. Almost, yeah, I mean eight out of 10 players of every NFL team.
Well, they talk about bankrupt. NFL and they have the, what they say, running backs average 5 years in the sport. Most of them don't come out with the contracts to begin with. And then I think it probably, the bankrupt, I could see easily happening. Because just think about when you're 22 years old or even younger than that, sometimes 20 years old. You come out, you get a, I don't know, however long, or what's a signing bonus in the NFL? I mean, $150,000 at the least or whatever.
Couple mil.
So then you start getting the friends that show up that never existed before, and you have that entourage going. And then when you're not making that money anymore, you still have to live that life like you are, so.
I mean, they say the average American makes, what, $1.5-2 million, I don't know, something like that in their lifetime, probably a little bit more than that, but still in a whole lifetime of working. Whereas these people are like, oh, I'm getting paid $5 million a season or a game. I don't know exactly how it works, so don't laugh at me there. But they struggle to balance everything.
Because they go buy $1 million house.
Well, they've never had that money, and they got it all of a sudden, and they just keep going, so.
Yep, buying $1 million houses when you're only making $5 million is not smart financially.
If I was a professional football player, I'd probably have a house just like ours, except for maybe with one extra bedroom and maybe like another full bathroom instead of just one
and like
half
a pool.
People tell themselves that, but then it really depends. Like, I think if you're our age, you think that now, but when you're 22, like that's
when
not.
When I was 22, I was already still. I had a family because we already had a kid and everything, so I was still pretty realistic. I don't know. I just feel like.
Well, what's your age difference there?
25
and
30.
5 years.
Five.
Yeah. I didn't have my first kid until 29, so.
Haha. But anyways, so a Fortune magazine article states, however, that a working paper from the National Bureau of Economic Research found that the percentage of NFL players who go bankrupt after 2 years is much smaller, 1.9%, climbing to 15.7% after 12 years. I'm not really sure what that means, but anyways, the history. So as of 1911, the average salary for about 500 players in the Major League Baseball was slightly more than $2,000 a season, which is averages out to about $50,000 today. The star hitter Ty Cobb received $9,000 a season, which averages out to $228,000 today. So Ty Cobb, one of the best players, only averaged about $228,000. I guess the popularity probably wasn't there either, or just sports in general wasn't as global and stuff as it is today. But he also sold automobiles in the offseason. So while Cobb encouraged young men to play professionally, top pitcher Christy Mathewson, who made more money as a player than Cobb, warned, "Keep out of baseball unless you are sure of being a star." He stated that the average player did not make enough over a 10-year career to justify devoting those years to the sport.
So this, Michael, this Christy Mathewson, is this someone from Ty Cobb's era, or is this someone that's new? Let me take a look here. Okay, he's old. he died October 7th, 1925, so. But I see that. Like, the more I think about it now, like, just thinking about my daughter, like I would love for her to be professional sports something, but, like, I think, obviously, if she plays, like, I don't know, she starts off in soccer, like, your only option really is being on the USA women's team. And they got that controversy going now where they're not paid as much as the men, which...
That's every job.
Well, in my opinion, yeah. That's every job. I agree. To a certain extent. Like, I think the top levels... How can I put this? I do think they are discriminated against, yes.
100, it's proven. In every aspect, every level you go to. I'm sure...
Like women's sports?
There's outliers. I mean, women are definitely paid less. There's outliers that don't make sense. It's probably that 1%, as you can say. Popping in my mind is like the Walmart people, those ladies. But that's an outlier.
No. Well, sports, just because it's easy in sports, because you can just see by ticket sales and all that stuff. But
although, I do think the USA women's soccer, I think they have a legit argument, because they are way more popular and almost more fun to watch than the men. Like, they deserve more money than the men for sure in soccer. So
tennis, too.
Oh, yeah, tennis. The top women can compare to the top men. You know, I like watching Roger Federer. I like watching Serena Williams because she kicks everyone's booty.
So Mickey Mantle earned $10,000 a season, which was $89,000 today.
He would get paid more than that, though. Like, I know that translates into today money, but he would get paid more than that.
So this is what you were saying. It's players' vulnerabilities. Rod Strickland said what you said. Players encourage each other to spend lavishly. Rod Strickland explained, for rookies, it's like an unspoken initiation. You're trying to get in good with the veterans, so you go beyond your means. Friends and strangers become part of their entourages. Retired basketball center Danny Chaez. Guys go broke because they surround themselves with people who help them go broke. So yeah, if you're a rookie and you go into a locker room hanging out with Michael Jordan.
Well, that goes back to, just speaking of someone I know, Antoine Walker, former Kentucky player, Boston Celtics. He was a journeyman. Got caught up in hanging out with Michael Jordan. He obviously did not have the endorsements that Michael Jordan had, and he kept trying to spin like that. And
he had a UK education.
Because that's the other thing you have to look at is not only are they making this money off the bat, but if you're not going out of your way, or you're not getting picked up by other people to kind of have that other part-time job on the side, which really, if you think about it, a lot of the big stars have that quote-unquote part-time job, such as commercials. You know, they decide to be the advertisements for so many brands. They go on random reality TV shows, you know, Dancing with the Stars will decide to pick them up. Things like that to get paid extra money. And not everybody in the sports is going to have that. And especially when they retire and leave the sport, they're no longer going to have that. You are going to have some that are intelligent enough to be like, oh, maybe I should get a job because I'm retired from this. For example, Ken Dilger, he played for the Indianapolis Colts. He was a quarterback.
You tell me you don't know anything about sports. I have no freaking clue who that is.
It was my high school. He was way older than me.
Kendilger.
He's still, to this day, he sells real estate in northern Indiana. So he's retired from the NFL. And he played from the time he was in high school all through college and then went on signed until he was retiring age. He retired with the Buccaneers. And after that, rather than deciding that he was... The Buccaneers are in Florida, right?
Tampa Bay, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So them...
You're just throwing me off. Tell me you don't know sports and you're coming with all this knowledge.
About one person.
Well, still, that's good.
One person. But now he sells real estate in northern Indiana. So at least he's like, oh, maybe I should keep going so that I'm not
drowning
in my debts as I...
A lot of the NFL players should be able to live off what they have made.
Well, I think you gotta look at the backgrounds of a lot of the players, too. You know, a lot of them don't come from the best backgrounds. They grow up watching people spend the money that they have and want to live that lifestyle, and they finally get to do it, but they weren't taught right at a younger age how to manage their money and stuff like that. That's just...
Yeah, I couldn't imagine being broke and being like, all right, here's $10 million, and you literally see your bank account go from $1,000 to $10 million. It's like, what are you supposed to do with that? And the first thing you
my student loans.
And even that, though, a lot of them don't even get $10 million. Like, a lot of them make the base salary of whatever it is, $550,000, I think, is like a base salary of a, you know, just a, and that, I mean, that itself is a lot of money. But, you know, I'd be curious to know, what type of players go broke. Is it the ones that are getting paid $550,000, the minimum salary, or is it the ones that are getting paid the middle ground, or the ones that are getting paid the high ground, you know? Like, are the ones that are getting paid the middle ground, like, they concentrate more on the maybe school while they're in it, and the ones that are just getting those big contracts, you know, straight out of school, but don't have any experience with that, you know?
I'd also be curious how long they're actually in the sport, because I'm sure the ones that have been playing in there longer, you know, had a longer run within the sport, they probably eventually got better at managing things like that compared to the ones that are really good for a year or two and then suddenly they fizzle out and they don't get signed anymore and they're out on the streets.
Yeah.
Or caught beating their girlfriend in an elevator and, mm-hmm. you know, nobody likes them anymore.
So the NFL actually does offer its players a financial education program. The non-credit seminars are offered during the year and teach players about cash management, insurance, tax planning, retirement planning, and other related topics. There's also
sure
a more...
I was going to say, I wonder how much they push that, because I just had to go to some... Well, I'm not going to talk about that. I had to go to a meeting for work, and it lasted 9 hours, and I could not stay awake during it. So I'm pretty sure that's probably along the same lines.
Yeah,
like, they're just talking stuff, and most of it...
And most of them probably barely graduated college, if they even did. They probably got signed just to play in college, didn't have time to go to classes, let alone be able to talk about financing themselves through life.
So that's what it says. Education can often be overlooked by professional athletes once they have made it to their desired sports league. This is a major concern because many professional athletes have no funds or career options to fall back on. Without a college degree, higher education, or in some instances, even a high school diploma, there are limited options to explore in the world outside of athletics. Well-established athletes like Shaquille O'Neal and Ray Lewis have gone back to receive their college degrees despite their incredible success in their respected athletic professions. One side of the argument says the college athletics and the educational institution often do not succeed in accommodating their student athletes for their future endeavors outside of sports, and that the overall relationship between schools and athletes can be perceived as commercial rather than educational.
That's actually a huge debate right now. There's a book that was just released. I heard this on NPR the other day. With the NCAA about how their athletes don't get paid. Like, usually they get scholarships to go to school, but they often fail out of school. They struggle with their studies and whatnot just because they're so dedicated to their sports and they're pressured to spend so much time with that and they're constantly traveling. So therefore, they aren't getting the education they deserve, and then in the end, they end up with nothing because most of them don't get signed to, you know, NFL or NBA, and then, well, NBA, I guess if it's the NCAA.
Well, they just had the North Carolina.
And then they have no education either.
North Carolina, they had those classes where they weren't actually classes, you know, they they were just on the book, you know. Did y'all read about that or whatever?
I didn't know about that.
It's kind of they actually, and kind of what makes me mad about it, one, because I'm a Kentucky fan, I hate North Carolina, but like they really, I think they're just going to get a slap on the wrist. They were making up classes. It wasn't just basketball. It was all their sports. They were making up classes and saying that they were attending when these classes didn't really exist, and they were just giving them an A in it just so they could graduate and play their respective sports. And I think it's come down to where nothing's really going to happen to them. And I think that's, like I said, bad because I'm a Kentucky fan, and bad because that sets a bad example that there's no punishment for what they do. So
yeah, that was a big thing. One of the guys that wrote the book and that was talking on this NPR segment, he played in in college. He was on whatever the main league, and I guess they have different teams, like AB team kind of thing. I don't know how to explain it. But he was on one of the main ones. He ended up not graduating. He was like, I was left with nothing. I had no way to go back because I failed completely out of college and got turned down for all these sports. He's like, and now my son is a star basketball player in high school, and schools keep coming to him wanting to sign him, and I'm trying to talk my son out of it because he doesn't understand how much it's just going to ruin his life.
They need to pay him, because I'm pretty sure half the athletes go to college and they're saying, or the coaches are telling them, you're here to play some basketball or football.
Are you talking about paying college athletes?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's for a whole nother separate podcast. But my question is that, how do you pay them? Is it the same as pros? You pay the 5 stars a certain amount of, maybe that's how they need to do it. Have a set payment amount, pay the 5-star recruits one set of money, 4 stars another, 3 stars another. I mean, that.
And the fact that they can even get in trouble for what's like selling their merchandise, giving autographs. Yeah. I don't know. There's a
you
whole
can't
big,
sell anything.
You can't do anything to make yourself any money. So you are literally not. The majority of them are going to end up on the streets with nothing, no education, nothing going for them.
Yep.
And that's why people complain that McDonald's workers have colleges. No education and make minimum wage. And those are the majority of them people. They are your NCAA people who ended up with nothing in the end.
I think earlier I didn't finish my point about my daughter growing up and playing sports. Like, I want her to play sports and I want her to have fun, but like, if she's not going to go pro, I don't see a point of doing it. Even through high school is okay, but college, I mean, unless you're good at handling both academics with whatever degree you're going to do, like, I feel like it's almost pointless to do it in college, at a big college, because you're just not going to have the time for your education. And you're not going to have, you know, if you're playing soccer at a D1 school for a female, she really has nowhere to go unless she wants to be one of the however many spots are on the, you know, on the roster, you know, for the USA women's team. You know, I think if I had to go back and look on it, if I chose a sport to play, I think I would have either chosen tennis or golf.
Tennis or golf?
Yeah.
I wish I would have done football.
I was perfectly content not playing any sports.
You probably wouldn't be doing this podcast right now if you're playing football. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yep.
That or you'd be slurring your words into the microphone, something along those lines. So.
Yeah, college athletes, yeah. I definitely think they need to get something more than just a free college education, in quotes, because they don't go for that. No one cares.
I think it's crazy. I'm sitting here reading what you're reading, and I think it's crazy that Michael Jordan here, I was just reading, is talking about children and divorce and spouses and stuff, and Michael Jordan had to pay a divorce settlement at the time, he had no prenup, of $168 million.
It's good to marry
so,
rich.
Antoine Walker, you hanging out with Michael Jordan was a huge mistake. So,
here are some of the failures, like some of the major people that lost a lot of money.
I guarantee Antoine Walker is going to be on there.
So number one, Vince Young, after earning $45 million in salary and endorsements, Vince Young is one of the most recent pro athletes to go broke. $45 million and you lose it all. That's insane.
Like, what do you spend it on besides taxes? What do you spend it on?
I'd probably buy a house for you. Before,
you know, after taxes, that's probably $27 million. I mean, you can't manage $20 million for the rest of your life, you know?
That's why I said you probably bought a house for you, your mom, your dad, your best friend, your
cars for
rice,
all of them.
Man.
Your side chick.
I'm a noodle. Stick to it.
You have 7 cars. I'm pretty sure he was on MTV Cribs. yep, Antoine Walker. Despite earning $108 million in salary while playing in the NBA, Antoine Walker had to declare bankruptcy in 2010, listing assets of $5 million and debts of $13 million, thanks to a bad real estate investments and gambling debts.
And I guess that's something else, too, is make sure you get your people in the right money. You get that finance guy who's just going to, launder your money or not take care of it, right? You probably have all kinds of those people.
Yep. Evander Holyfield, $250 million as a heavyweight champion in 2008. A bank foreclosed on Evander's $10 million, 54,000 square foot, 109 bedroom Atlanta mansion.
See, that's the problem. How many people has he got living there? I mean, that's beyond like
109.
Okay, that's beyond saying I want to move in my parents, all my siblings, all my nieces and nephews. That's beyond that, because you still have what, 60 bedrooms left over after your entire extended family moves in, and who needs all that? Can you imagine how much it's going to cost a cleaning crew to come in weekly and clean that for you?
Hey, honey, go to your rooms.
I'm sure Evander's saving money on that kind of stuff and cleaning it himself, so. You gotta cut somewhere.
54,000 square foot.
109 bedrooms. Can you, yeah. I mean, why?
Does it say on Wikipedia, like, how big, just say, I mean, New Albany High School is? I don't know. How many square feet would that be?
I don't know.
I mean, 109, God. No one needs. I really hope someone put that for like a joke.
26 bathrooms. Does it have many bathrooms and stuff like that?
Nope.
I'm scared to know. Can you imagine if one thing goes wrong with your plumbing? Can you imagine the electric bill?
Nope. Allen Iverson, February 2012. Iverson told a Georgia judge that he was flat broke and could not pay an $860,000 jewelry debt.
Really?
So Iverson earned $154 million in salary and $30 to $50 million in endorsements during his career. Iverson was known to travel with a 50-person entourage, lost millions of dollars gambling, lavished friends with expensive gifts, and had massive monthly child support obligations.
I think that's the other issue, is these stars decide that they're going to have babies with three or four different people and not realize that your child support is based off of your income. And here they are. Their babies are getting $1 million a month for being a baby.
I can't remember who it was. I don't think it was a sports athlete, but someone that became popular. He had 10 different children with 11 different women. So that's going to cost you a lot of money.
Because
we have to worry about, like, oh my gosh, we spent $20 on this meal for all three of us. Could you imagine? So every day, Allen Iverson's probably buying probably $50 meals every single day. Yeah, you're going to go broke really, really fast. So Mike Tyson earned an estimated $400 million over his career, but declared bankruptcy in 2003.
And he got so desperate that he started making, The Hangover?
That's He's actually coming desperate. Back in popularity.
Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
I'm Mike Tyson!
That's why. He's coming back and he thinks he's something big, but it's just because everyone wants to make fun of him and he just needs the money.
Well, people can make fun of me if I was getting paid money. I'm okay with that.
So, not only men can go broke.
But he's on a different level, too, because they were talking about the suicide rate up there earlier. Mike Tyson had, I don't know about these other people, but Mike Tyson had, I think, issues with, like, bipolar and stuff like that, so.
Well, you've been hitting the head so many times, you got a lot of issues going on.
So Cheryl Swoops, she actually earned $50 million playing basketball, and she declared bankruptcy in 2004, owing $711,000. She said she didn't surround herself with the right people. She got in position where it was like, oh wow, what happened?
That's what every person says in high school at least one time in their life, in their high school career. If that shows you anything.
Oh wow, what happened?
I surrounded myself with the wrong people, and what happened? I mean, it's immature for them to be able to talk like that.
Yep. But there were some success stories that people actually were good with money. You have Magic Johnson. He was a one-time owner of the Los Angeles Lakers. And his company, Magic Johnson Enterprises, has a net worth of $700 million. And he's now a minority partner in a group that bought the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And he pays a lot of money for medical bills and crap too, so he's doing really good.
Yeah, I don't know whatever happened to that. I'm guessing he still has it.
Well, it's incurable, so I'm going to assume it's still there.
I don't know. He might have to take out a loan or two now that one guy bought the medicine to it and all that stuff jacked it up to like $7,000 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might have to pull out a loan. That $700 million is going to go fast.
He might have to reevaluate his finances. Yep.
And that's all I got. You see anything else that you want to read on there?
Not right offhand, I do not.
I got nothing else to say except for if I can make it, these fools can make it.
Yeah, because you're a millionaire.
I'm driving an 11-year-old car that I hate with everything in me, but you know what? I'm dealing with it. They don't need a new car every other day.
Thank God we don't have an entourage.
I know.
We'd be really broke.
I'm so happy nobody likes me.
Yeah, I think only entourage is people like middle class. It's kids. You have a lot of kids. So you have to pay a lot of child bills and stuff like that.
But hey, you can be smart and not do all that.
Did we talk about the length of careers down here? I don't know what this place is. I reported them. Do you find it hard to believe that sometimes that their career, let's see, for basketball, football, and baseball, the average career span is 4.5 years.
I can believe it. You have a lot of stars that you hear about for a long time, but then there's a lot of people that they get drafted 1 year and like 2 years later you suddenly remember them and they're nowhere to be found.
Happens all the time. All the time. And that's sports for you.
Thanks
like,
for
look
inviting
at,
me.
Look at Jay Cutler. Because, you know, he was drafted. He was supposed to be something big and he's been in the NFL for how many years and now everybody's starting to realize that he's...
Who?
Jay Cutler. That he's not everything he's cut out to be. And he's
I think he just signed like a new... like big huge contract.
It's been dwindling down more and more and you know nobody appreciates him and so how long is it really going to be before he just
I don't know how he keeps signing contracts. He's terrible.
He's awful.
He's still making a lot of money. He's ripping off the NFL, but you do what you gotta do,
I suppose.
But that's all, folks. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for the invite, Bridget and Lucas.
Yep,
no problem at all.
We will have to do it again sometime, please.
Will do.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
See you all.
Thanks. Goodbye. A lot.
Bye-bye.